Hi, Elsa.
Hi, Barry. Sorry, my phone goes right to a spam blocker if it doesn't recognize the number.
Okay.
And it beat me.
Okay. Do you want me
to answer faster?
Do you want me to call you back, or are you okay?
No. Perfect. Nope. We're good.
Okay. Right. Okay. So what happens is we've got about 3-4 minutes before the show starts. What will happen is there's a bit of introduction music, lasts about just under a minute. You should be able to hear it, but I'll count it down just in case. And then I introduce you, and we chat for like 20, 25 odd minutes. You know, we're coming towards the end, because the last thing I do is say, right, now I'm going to hand over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find out more about you and your books, and you provide all that sort of information. Then I thank you for being on the show, and there's a bit of outro music. While the outro music's playing, please just hang on the line, and I'll let you know how it all went.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, right. I'm just going to go and quickly pour my tea out, and I'll be right back.
Sounds great.
Okay. Okay, back. Let me see.
Alrighty.
My microphone's working. Yours is working. The music is set so we can hear it. Yeah, I think we're ready. Right. That shows you that we've got the microphone on for this music. Right. That's why I have to turn the monitoring off. Otherwise, you get this wonderful feedback. It's great when you're doing special effects,
gotcha.
But not a lot else, right? Okay, right, we're ready to go. Yep, about a minute and a half to go.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this. No problem.
Yeah, let me see, what number are you? Let's have a check, see. I did an audit recently. 1,403. You're number 1,404.
I like it.
Lucky number. There you go. Yeah. I did an audit. I knew I was sort of over 1,400, and it just about got to 1,400. But yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's right. Yeah, we're already there. That's already. Okay. As long as I press the go button, otherwise you and I sit here chatting and nobody can hear us. But it's only a great big round button in the middle of the dashboard here, but, you know, you forget
it
sometimes.
You can't miss.
I know, and I do.
I'm actually, of all places, I'm sitting out in my car because I have three dogs in the house, and I was so afraid
they'd all
start barking, so I'm not taking any chances.
I mean, believe me, we've had people in all sorts of weird places on the show. We've got somebody pulled over by the police,
we've had restaurants.
I don't win the weirdest place. Oh, no. We've had a lot of weird places, people hanging out of windows and, you know, in a restaurant, stopped by the police. We had a werewolf dial in once and start growling on the phone. You know, we've had fun.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Right, about 15 seconds, I would say. Yeah, no, less than that. We're ready. We're off. Press the go button and play the music. Hello, everybody. And welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, second thing you do, put on the kettle, make a little brew, that'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't
30 seconds.
Agree. Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the car. cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and
15 seconds
is magic in the morning or in the afternoon.
Take the monitoring off. And 5 seconds. Good evening, one and all. A Wednesday, I know. Cut follows Tuesday, which is normal, but it's a Wednesday. And yes, it's another Book and a Chat with me, Barry. Well, I say another. I was just talking to my guest, and I did an audit recently. This is show number 1,404. Yeah, I know, it's been a long while. But remember, we were doing 4 shows a week at one time, so it does sort of work out. But yeah, that's what it is. But it doesn't seem like only yesterday I was in the position, well, not quite the position of my guest, because she's got a lot more books out than me, but as a fresh author and what to do and stuff like that. And even on yesterday's show, I think there were 2 or 3 items which we're going to touch today that we were sort of talking about and hinting about yesterday. Well, what can I tell you? My guest is, well, she's another fellow Connecticut author, same as me, Kappa member, which is Connecticut Authors and Publishers Association, just in case people wonder what the hell we're talking about. But yes, she is here on the show, so I better introduce her, because on the show today, I have the one and only Elsa Kurt. Hi, Elsa, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Hello, thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. There's a bit of a pause there because for some reason or other I was going to call you Emma and I knew it was totally wrong. So I had to quickly find your
name. I pretty much answer to anything these days. So yeah. As long as it's nicely said, we're good.
Yeah, me too. Normally from the wife it's or you, you know, but yes, I know exactly what you mean. First off, are you one of these people that have always been like, you know, writing little stories as soon as you could hold a crayon?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Writing, drawing, all of it, and there's always been a story in my head and squeaking out onto little scraps of paper and anywhere I could. Yes.
Right. Well, the big question is, do any of these early stories still exist?
No, they don't. I grew up so shy and so introverted that I either tucked everything away or threw it away, and they some of them lived on in my head and
right.
Actually found their way into my first novel. So that was kind of cool, but, you know, never quite exactly the same.
Yeah, it's funny because I can remember a couple of poems I wrote when I was like 10 or 11, and it's still there in my head. You can't get rid of it. These things come along.
You can't. They live there, right?
The reason I ask is because, you know, some people do. You know, their parents stick them away or they put them in a box and, you know, umpteen years later they sort of have it. And I want to be like those sort of famous artists who have their big art exhibition and, the people are going around saying, oh, this is a brilliant thing. And this woman comes and says, yeah, but look at this brilliant picture that she did when she was 4, and there's this woman with purple hair bigger than the house, you know, and look at this fantastic story she wrote about the mouse in the cupboard, you know? Something like that.
I wish I could be that person that somebody would be able to do that, but like I said I was so shy. Everybody was so shocked. I didn't start writing, you know, with like intent to publish and to share my work until I was really well into adulthood, late adulthood here.
Well, what finally pushed you into that decision?
You know what? My husband gave the final push. We had one of those, you know, really great, great dinner conversations. And we were just talking about life and dreams and goals and wishes and all that great stuff. And I told him mine, which was that, you know, I really always wanted to write and publish, of course, a book. And it, you know, it's just the simplest little funny things that kind of give us permission to give ourselves permission.
Yeah.
And it was him leaning forward. I'll never forget it. Leaning forward. And he just said, so do it. And that was kind of the, you know, I guess the light bulb moment that, oh, well, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't I do it? And, it, you know, it's such a silly, simple thing, but it really was the catalyst. And I don't know if he's regretting it now because it's been nonstop.
Right. But it's funny how that happens. We've had, you know, several people on the show who have you know, by a dream or from a spirit voice or something, tell them, you know, you're here to write. We want you to write your story. And it does sometimes take that final push for you to sort of, well, courage is one of the words, you know, to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's a lot is timing, when the time is right, or you decide, I guess, that the time is right and you're ready to do it. And the time came and I haven't looked back since. You know, it hasn't been the easiest road because obviously, as you well know, you know, the minute you start putting yourself out there for public consumption, so to speak, you know, then you come out of your bubble because writing, of course, is so isolating and you forget there's a world out there and there's real people reading your work.
Yeah, who want the next book out as soon as you finish the last one, yeah.
Yes, of course, of course.
Well, one of the things that I said that we did discuss last night and several other shows is the being able to do multi-genre, which is in your case the truth. You're multi-genre, or you're indie and traditional published, you know, and you've covered a lot of different genres. I'm guessing perhaps the first sort were perhaps your women's novels, was it? Is that the first one you started?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, I actually technically started with children's books. It's like I kind of grew up through my books. I started with children's books, and then I graduated to a young adult novel, and then moved on to, I guess you would call it contemporary women's fiction, contemporary mm-hmm. fiction, and of course romance.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I grew up through my books.
Well, it's nice. I mean, you do the different things until you find your niche. I find, and you know, talking to people, you know, well, I've tried this, I've tried sci-fi, I tried this, that, they, and then he said, yeah, but I just get drawn to Victorian melodramas, you know, something like that, you know, historical romance, you know, whether it's their past life, they were in that sort of thing. I mean, people have said that, you know, or whether it's just it's something that attracts their attention that they really get into. But in your case, say being multi, you started off, you know, you've done 5 women's novels, you've done a YA book, I think a second one coming out or something, you've done inspirational, I think, and you've also done something about helping authors, which we'll get to later on. The fact, I mean, you've went through this range of stuff. Were you sort of, like I said, sort of trying to find what made you, you know, what you were most content with? Or was it just you thought, well, I'll try this, I'll try that, and see how it goes?
Yeah, you know what it was? I just, I think I just let myself be receptive to whatever wanted to come out.
Right.
And I had this wonderful blessing, which I used to call a curse, which is ADD. So that allows me to jump around like a jumping bean, basically, from this to that and the other thing. And, you know, of course, the task for me was always finishing what I started. And once I taught myself, I guess you could say, how to do that, then I was able to, you know, take it from A to Z. And so I let the stories just tell themselves. I'm what we like to call, I'm sure you've heard the term, I don't know if your listeners have, but I'm like what we call a pantser. So I pretty much fly by the seat of my pants when I write in whatever comes out, and I decide the genre, you know, later most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we've been talking about since almost the first shows, that it's almost like these stories, and 90% of the people, I would say, that have been on the show have agreed with this, but it's almost like these are stories from a parallel universe, and we're just the conduit that writes them down, because you well know, obviously, you know, we can plot this story out as much as we want, but the characters will lead you down the different path. Minor characters want major roles, you know, well-known story, I told several times on the show about this well-known author who got about 20 books out, and she just came on with us, and she's saying about how she tried to kill this character off about 10 times and he wouldn't die, so she had to rewrite the whole story, you know. But it's like that. And do you get, one of the other things that I know I do even now is I sort of read my books and I think, where did those words come from? They're not my words. I don't remember writing that.
Yes, that's so funny that you said that. That is so true. There's times, and I always have a really hard time going back and reading my books because it just feels weird. It's like an actor watching themselves on screen. It's awkward. But yes, that's so true. I'm like, I don't think I wrote that. That happened to somebody else.
I know. I mean, it's even worse when I remember I was sitting in London Airport, and the plane was a bit delayed, and I was reading one of my books. I'm laughing at some of the spots. I thought, why are you laughing? You wrote the thing. You know the journey's coming. And I felt so awkward that, you know, people are looking at me because I'm laughing, and I suddenly went, yeah, but it's your book. Why are you...
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Even when you're writing, right? Yeah.
And you think you're going to be writing one thing, and of course, like you said, the characters decide something else, and you sit there and you go, oh, what? I didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, I'm adamant that there's no such thing as writer's block. It's that the characters don't want to talk to you that day. Yeah, perhaps you didn't listen to them the day before or something like that. It's that if they talk to you, you've got to go with them. If you don't, they'll give you some trouble.
Yes. Yes, they will. They'll give you, 2,000 words of gibberish that you have to just go back and delete. So let them be the boss of you.
Right. So your contemporary women's novels, you've got Livy Takes the Long Way, Lost and Found Girls, The Awkward Woman's Guide to Dating, Still Here, and The Writer's Romance. That sounds interesting. The Writer's Romance. Yeah. Did you sort of develop characters through them? Are you sort of like repeat characters in some of these, or are they all sort of basically standalone and different people?
Yeah, so those are all standalones. They're their own separate stories. There's potential for a sequel or even a prequel to one of them in particular that are floating in the peripheral. And since I've written those guys, I've also written the first three books in a series. It's a small town romance. Yeah. So I know. Blink, and there's going to be another book.
Right. I was going to say, I'm reading something from a week old, and now there's three new books coming out.
Yeah. I told you. You know, I when I say ADD is a blessing,
right.
I mean it.
Right. Okay. So might have a series. At least three books in a series coming out shortly as well. So that's great. When you get into I mean, obviously, yours. I don't think yours are sort of very heavy women's novels.
I like to call them, beach reads.
Right. Because I know sometimes we were talking the other day to somebody who, a couple of times, her books have gone pretty dark and heavy. We were talking about the fact that, sometimes she has to get up and walk away because she's finding herself engulfed in the books. But in your case, it'll be a happy engulfed, I'd have thought.
Yes, you just want to move in and live there, yeah.
Right. Yeah. You wake up in the morning and there's sand in your shoes. That's a bit worrying.
Yes, exactly.
But as well as that, you have, well, at least one, and the second one might be out by now because I know you're working on it, a YA fiction series.
Yes, Into the Everwood. Yes, I've been working on that book. So there's going to be, the plan is three books for that guy, and I've been working on book two in the middle of all of the other projects.
Right.
And you're probably not surprised by now by that statement.
No. I thought if it's Tuesday and before 8 o'clock, I'm writing. YA. And if it's after 8 o'clock, I'm.
Yeah. Exactly. I wish I had one of those brains that could actually organize that way.
That's no fun.
Exactly. I knew I liked you. It's true.
I mean, where's the excitement if you know what you're going to do?
See, I like that. I'm going with that. Absolutely.
Is this something you've always wanted to have a go at, the YA side?
That one is the one that I had written years and years and years ago and put it away and left it alone and lost it, literally completely lost it, but remembered it and wanted to go back to it. And I call it it's like a modern day coming of age fairy tale, essentially.
Right. Oh, okay.
And yeah, so it's fun. It's fun. I like it. And it's completely out of the box for all of the other stuff I do. It's just so different. But yeah, I mean, we're so lucky we get to live in our fantasy world.
Well, not just that, but you're also there to help people because you have done motivational, inspirational type books. Finding Beauty in the Imperfections of Life. I think that's your one.
Yes. That's right, yes. Nice long title.
Is that because you got two daughters? I mean, was that sort of drive you to that, or what led you to that one?
Absolutely. Yeah, so my thing growing up, for as long as I remember, I always wanted to be, it's such a silly thing to strive for, but I always wanted to be perfect, and I wanted to do everything perfectly, and of course we know that perfection is an impossible standard, and yet I would beat myself up. I mean, I couldn't even write a note that said, be back in 5 minutes without rewriting it 10 times because I thought my handwriting looked awful.
Right.
And when you finally get to that point where you start to see the beauty in the imperfections, which is really what makes everything truly beautiful as far as humans, that we're imperfect and we keep trying, and, our imperfections make us special and unique and relatable to other people. So once I embraced that, it was something I really wanted to share. And like you said, especially having daughters, grown daughters, who are, they're just these great, great human beings. And, I get to say I had some hand in that, which is really, really cool. And I want them to have that, and really any person. But, of course, as a female, I want that for other females to stop trying so hard to be something that is unrealistic, and just accept who you are and be loving and kind and all of those wonderful things, and that's where you're going to find your happiness.
Right, indeed. Well, of course, it's not just that you wake up and you work out what you're going to write today. It's you work also have to work out who you're going to be, because you also you also write under Melanie Cherniak, which is I guess your children's books, is it?
Yes, correct. Yes, that's where I started off, which is my quote unquote. I don't know why I'm putting in quotes, but that's my real name, and that's where I started writing from. And when I made the switch to adult fiction, I wanted to have that little bit of separation. So I adopted a pen name, which is actually my grandparents' first names.
There you go.
Yeah. So I get to pay a little tribute to them because they were just pretty much the sun, moon, and stars for our family. So I get to kind of carry them around and do that. So, yes, I get it. Early on, I mentioned I pretty much answer to anything now, and that's part of why, because nobody knows what to call me anymore.
Nobody knows. are you signing at the Big E at the moment? Have you got a spot?
I did. Did you go too?
No, I haven't, but I've been there before. I've done signing there before. But just to let the people know, here in Connecticut, the Big E is the New England Fair. Biggest thing sort of every year in it's Springfield, isn't it? Yeah. And in the Connecticut building, CAPA, Connecticut Authors and Publishers Association, always have various authors every day, reading, but signing copies of their book, and you're speaking to people as they come through the building. And I know when I was there, it was a great time.
It was wonderful, yes. Yeah. Yes, I got to do it this year. I did two dates, and it was wonderful. There was a huge volume of people coming through, and everybody was just lovely. I had wonderful table mates, and Debbie, who really just handles everything there, was exceptional. I can't even imagine how she does it.
No.
But, yeah, that's a great experience.
Did you have any chocolate-covered bacon in the building there?
I did not. I know. I'm so horrified that I've still got time, though. I'm going back once more to get all of those god-awful things that I must have and regret.
Well, there you go, people. If you're in New England and you go to the Big E, and lots and lots and lots of people do. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, about 80 to 100,000 a day. I think it's 100,000 on Connecticut Day or something like that.
You're right.
So, people, look in the Connecticut building there and look for CAPA, Connecticut Authors and Publishers, and you might even know who you might see there. Elsa might be there. Either Elsa or Melanie, one of them might be there.
One of them might be there. Both at the same time.
At the same time. Depending which hand she's going to sign the book with.
Exactly, yes. I know, I better start being, ambidextrous?
Ambidextrous, yeah. But one of the, as I said at the beginning about the things that came up yesterday, and one of the other things that comes up time and time again on the show, and I always say this from my own experience, is, people have written a book and they think that's it, it's finished. You've got the copy of the book, it's there in your hand, that's it, finished, you know, I'll just sit back and watch. That's not it. That's when the hard work starts, and people don't realize that, but you have now written a book to help people, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I have. It's called You Wrote It, Now What? Very unique title there.
Right.
But yes, and that's exactly right. When I would go to these book signing and events, there was always, you know, not just one, but several people that would approach me and say, you know, I've written a book, I have it, but I don't know what to do now. And so I just haven't done anything with it.
Right.
And it breaks my heart because I, first of all, I've been there. I mean, when I started doing this as a career choice, I had no idea what I was doing. So I really jumped in face first and figured it out as I went along. And so everything that I learned was kind of like hard won knowledge and trial and error and mistakes. And I got to realizing that, you know, I can help people get over those hurdles and maybe not make the mistakes that I made and had to, you know, take the long way, basically. And because it becomes disheartening, so it's easy to just put it aside and let it collect dust and not follow that dream. So, you know, it's kind of become my goal to help people navigate that whole writing, publishing, and promoting process to the best of my ability. So that's what that's all about.
Interesting, because in fact it was in the Kappa magazine, I remember, about 7 years ago I read it, something like that. Might have been more than that. Must have been more than that. Must have been about 10 to 12 years ago. Just as it was all starting, you know, the YA bloggers were starting, taking over the blogosphere and stuff like that, and people were being made instant sort of number one hits overnight and stuff like that. And some of the publishers, they got on the bandwagon. And I remember there was this quite famous publishing house was offering this package for, I think it was $995. And when you read through it, you could do everything yourself for more or less free.
Right.
You know, they gave you a blog, they gave you a Facebook, they gave you a Instagram, they gave you this, they gave you the all these sort of things that you set up, and you can do that yourself. You just got to put yourself out there. Contact blog. I'm a huge fan of YA bloggers because I call them the sham wow of literature because they just soak everything up, you know.
Yes.
But it's true. I mean, if I've done book signing as I've gone to a traditional bricks and mortar bookstore, and you're there, and you might get about a dozen people come up to you. Right. Two of them want the way to the bathroom. A couple of them think you know you're an employee and ask if you can show them this other book, and you know a couple of people come up and they want the free bookmarks or whatever it is, and you might get three or four people come and you know eventually sell a couple. You know, it depends how lucky you are, sort of book.
Yeah.
But then once you've been there, you're forgotten. That's it. You know, your time's gone. You get on a person. I can't remember their name. Some of the sort of big bloggers who've got like 1,000 people following them, right? They blog about you, and say 700 or 600 read that blog, and 50 people say, that sounds good, I'm going to have a read of that. And so they read it. They read the book and blog about it, and about 15, 20 of them blog about it. And it goes on. It's like the old pyramid letters spreading out everywhere. But you're not forgotten because when somebody's looking for you on the internet, they search your name, and they find this saved, you know, or recording or the blog entry or what have you. And so this day and age, it's so much part and parcel of everything.
You're so right. That is so true. And people, you know, I always cringe a little bit because some of the people I talk to and mentor, they kind of balk at the idea of using social media. And I mean, you can't get an easier, less expensive platform than social media.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it on a personal level, that's fine. But you know, you're missing a wonderful opportunity to get your word out there and your brand or product or book or whatever the case is. And like you said, the bloggers, that's just a flat out win all around. So you don't necessarily have to. If you like the FaceTime is really nice to
right.
get out there and meet people. But you're so there's so many events that I've been to that have been exactly what you described, and I think we've all had that experience. But there's so many opportunities now and ways that you can do this that are painless.
Right. Well, I mean, just take this show. We average mm-hmm. 25,000 people around the world listening to this show, you know, each episode.
That's fantastic.
And
right.
and I interview people from all over, from Australia to mm-hmm. Asia to Africa to Europe, UK, you know, Great Britain, UK, Canada, America, a few places in the South of America, not that many, but you know, but mm-hmm. a few there. And I'm sitting here at home, you know, in me little room, and I'm talking to somebody in Australia who's just got up about 3 o'clock, you know, it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, and here we are talking like we were talking, you know, sitting down, as I say, sitting down having a chat over a cup of tea.
Yeah, it's so great.
Oh, it is. I mean, there are drawbacks, yeah, but the internet is a wonderful thing. The world is a smaller place. You know, mm-hmm. that's the thing. You're not in your own little space anymore. Though you can be, you know, but
right.
you know, it's you can communicate and promote and share a lot more easy these days.
Oh, definitely. And it's, you know, it's nice. And I really think everything is really what you make. And I hate to be so cliche, but I'm going to anyway. But it really is. It's what you make of it. So if you put out great things in the universe, and you only allow good things in your universe, you know, that whole negative aspect of the internet and social media doesn't have to play as big of a part in your life
nope.
as maybe you might think it does or nope. it will. And, you know, I kind of eliminate any of the negativity or hostility or any of the ugliness that's going on. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with what I write. You know, I don't write about politics. I
right.
don't write about religion. You know, I don't write about any of the hot button topics that rile people up. So I don't actually need it in my
right,
in my
right,
universe.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great to have that choice to be able to make. And yeah, I love it. I love
yeah.
it. I love it.
Well, I know what I love, and that's having this interview with you today. But right now, time is beating us. It goes so quickly when you've got an interesting guest like yourself. So what I'm going to do now, Elsa, is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where people can find out more about you and, of course, all your books.
Thank you so much, Barry. So I am pretty much everywhere online that you can find local, book retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble online. Locally, I am at that bookstore in Wethersfield and
okay.
at a great little place called She Shed Creations in East Hampton, Connecticut. And I'll actually be there on October 5th for a wonderful little stroll that they have going on, a little autumn stroll. So if you're in the area,
right.
I'd love to see you. And and my website, elsakurt.com, and of course, all across all social media at author Elsa Kurt. And I love chatting with new potential readers or anybody aspiring writers. So, yeah, that's me.
Well, Elsa, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been really great chatting to you.
Thank you, Barry. It was wonderful.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. My guest is Elsa Kurt. That's ELSAKURT. Elsa Kurt, and as we heard, it's the names of her grandparents, but don't tell anybody, really. Elsa Kurt, and as she said, you can find her at elsakurt.com, and you can find her all her different books, her different speaking services, lots and lots of stuff to see there. Links to her blog, videos, everything like that. Events where she's at as well. As I said, look out the Big E. Look at the CAPA, Connecticut Authors and Publishers, CAPA, in the Connecticut building. See everybody there. See who's there. It might be other people we've had on the show before. Or it might just be worth chatting to people about books and their books and even the sort of things we ask here. Well, that's it for now. I will be back next Tuesday and Wednesday with fresh authors. But before then, of course, don't forget here on newvisionsradio.com. Newvisionsradio.com, that's all one word. I'll be here on Sunday from 5 to 6 with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And this theme this week is for the girls, basically. We had for the men last week, for the girls. And we cover different things, different songs with lady, girls, whatever in it. And we have our comedy spot. We have Two of a Kind, where there's two versions of the same song, and you can pick which one you like. Very interesting this week. Totally different, but the same song. And, of course, after that, from 6:30 to 7 on newvisionsradio.com, you have The British Invasion. 30 solid minutes, without me nattering, of the music that invaded USA from England in the 60s and 70s. Well, that's it for now. I will see you next week. But of course, until then, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...